Hello, everybody, and welcome to Drollers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Oh, I reckon Buckets Farina has ruined my intro for me.
Why is that? What's he done?
Because now I think all I'm going to be able to think of is Daz's really bad putting at Masters during our intro. I need that to fade out. I need that to fade out from my memory.
It was very good. Not his putting. His putting was terrible. I don't know. Daz, they needed Parkney to stay away from him. He doesn't have many good putting rounds on camera. But Maddie's commentary, funny as Daz Mitz absolutely duffs a little tap in. And Maddie goes, yikes. And it sounds like Daz is saying it.
Yeah, he did it well. He did it well. Good. No, he faded it out. He went, yikes, 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 yikes.
Oh, no, that was good. I did enjoy that, finishing, watching that up. That was nice.
Yeah.
And watched the gold medal match of the, what's the name too? The World Teams
thing. Okay, so. At the Teams, nice.
Yeah, it was good. Good seeing, it wasn't good, we lost, but it was good to watch. So that's all right.
Yeah.
Seeing DP do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? What have you been up to this week?
Obviously, checked out a bit of that coverage. Not so much the Teams event, but the checked out some of the Masters. Been stuck into work. I've had actually a couple of days in the city, which has been nice, just to kind of, switch off from work mode and get into some professional development. Checked out a really sweet pastry shop. Obviously, do enjoy a good pastry. If you're in and around the North Melbourne area, can highly recommend checking out Bread Club. They have like Cheesy Mite scrolls, but they have pimped out Cheesy Mite scrolls.
Okay.
So I had one the other day that was like caramelized onion, goat cheese, and a poached egg, all like within this like Cheesy Mite scroll number. It was very good.
There you go. All right. I'm sure Paul Arden has been around it. He's a big food guy and a North Melbourne man, so I'd be very surprised if he's not on it, but that's cool.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Professional development stuff, just more learning things for work?
Yeah, just learning stuff for work, rolling out some massive departmental initiatives, and they're trying to get us abreast of those initiatives, and it was good. I mean, it's work, but it was good.
For professional development, very different in the plumbing scene. I just roll up to work one day, and there's some weird thing I've never seen before, and they're like, you need to install this, and I'm like, all right. And then I guess by the end of the day, I'm professionally developed. different setup.
Yeah.
Different setup. We got a bit of exciting, I think it's exciting, is the tipping comp for the upcoming social season for the rest of the year, for social season two. I stumbled upon this when I was looking for something else, pretty much, and found out that you can just make tipping comps for whatever you want. And I immediately got really excited about this and was starting to make a tipping comp concept for the national tour stuff. And then I was like, I'll use this social day as a test to see how the software works.
Yes.
And that was a lot of fun. So I was like, well, why don't we just tip the social days? That'd be a lot of fun.
Correct.
And then before you know it, just put some feelers out into the Disc Golf in Melbourne chats. And we've got 20 people at least, I think, signed up at the moment. So it's going to be pretty fun. I reckon we're going to get 50. I reckon we'll have 50 people signed up. Because it's free entry. Right now, there's no prizes. There's no anything on the line.
Hang on. I was thinking about this. Yes, you're right. There is absolutely nothing on the line. I have, like in the shed, I probably have a hoodie that I could probably chuck through the washing machine that's got Westside Disc Golf written on it. Like, because I was left over with like five of them.
Oh, don't give that away because mine's gone. So I'm taking that one.
Oh, okay, sweet. I've just basically got like five in my circulation. Yeah,
you've probably got mine. Does one of them say Alan on it?
None of them say Alan. But I would have noticed. But I got one of them. But I was also thinking, chalk bag. Do we have a chalk bag? Maybe.
Yeah. We got that stuff going on too. So yeah. maybe we could come up with a throwlers pack.
Yeah.
We'll see how we go. But yeah, I don't know. If we get a few people, I might try to find a cheeky sponsor and then get some stuff going. But I think it's been cool. So the concept is basically just going to look at who's playing the social day coming up, and I'll just pick a bunch of matchups. So it might be, well, what were the ones this week that we did? It was, I think I went Chris Scott versus Leo, maybe.
You did. You went Chris Scott versus Leo. I can actually tell you who you did.
Can you? Because I deleted it.
Yep, you did. Penn versus Ruben.
Yeah.
You did Tim Ware versus Peter Chu.
Yeah.
You did your doubles matchup.
Yep.
And that's about all I can remember.
Yeah. Okay.
Only one screenshot.
Brett versus Narada, I think, was involved in that as well. Yeah, a few. And it worked out. Tim Stevenson versus Paul Arden-ish, maybe? Mike Vandalin? I can't remember. Anyway, it was good. And you and I tipped a few different ways on some stuff, so, which is good. You got the chocolates on me. I think we had two DNF ones ruin it, though. But then I think you might have got four right and I only got three right. So,
correct.
And yeah, there's a thing in there to be able to tip draws. So you'd be able to tip a draw and it'd be worth more points. I think I might put a caveat on it, though. Like, I don't think you should be able to tip yourself in a draw, because that sets up some match fixing.
Shenanigans.
Yeah. So I think if you're in it and you're selected, if you tip a draw, I'll tell you to get fucked.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. So we'll check that out. I'll make sure everyone's keen to be in it. So I'll send some messages out. You'll probably get a message from me at some stage to find out whether you'd be fine with us tipping on you, like, one way or the other. If anyone doesn't want to be in it, that's straight away. Just hit me up and I'll put you on the do not tip list, which is fine. But yeah, I think it'll be cool. Just something that sort of came up out of nowhere. It's got nothing to do with the club. So, like, Melbourne Disc Golf Club's not involved in any way. I'm just doing it because I think it'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, obviously the club will distance themselves from it because you're going to go fishing for some prize packs and sponsorship. And if they just distance themselves immediately, they don't have to worry about having to fork out any prizes for us, which is a shame. Yeah. But well played, club.
$600 in Melbourne Disc Golf Club vouchers would be nice. But we're not going to get that. So, no, it'll mostly just be bragging rights, I think, and a bit of fun. So, should be good.
Yeah. Get amongst it. Hit us up if you've obviously, Alan's put it in the chats. If you miss those chats and you're like, what chats has Alan put that in? Well, and you're part of the Melbourne Disc Golf Club, you might want to hit us up about that as well. But I think you're right. I think it'll be popular.
Yeah, it'll be very popular.
I think we'll have a few more people enter.
Sounds good. We got a couple of weeks till the next social day too, so plenty of time to get on it. Tell a friend to tell a friend. I got a couple of messages. Speaking of telling a friend, I got a couple of messages last week from some concerned people in Ballarat, just letting me know that I made a mistake, which is, I think, our first in 115 episodes or whatever it is.
And we'll never make another one. It's a one-off. It was bound to happen.
Crazy. But last week when I was talking about the cool birdie bags we got, they're not birdie bags, the chalk bags, the fox bags. I mentioned you can get it from Zelm Disc Golf out of Mount Gambier, but Zelm Disc Golf, of course, is out of Ballarat. That's Stuart Ward's brainchild. So I thought I'd have a little bit of a look into that because people might not know. But Zelm Disc Golf, you can pick up Elevation Discs and Goliath Discs. So a couple of the lesser known
manufacturers,
but they got some cool looking discs. If you go on their website, they got some funky looking stuff.
Yep. The Binks Wizard, obviously a froth, a gateway wizard. Don't know how they're getting away with having a Binks Wizard, but if that was not out of stock, I'd be all over it. And the Monster Mash. It looks like a bit of pig vibes for me. I'd love to know what the Monster Mash flies like.
Mm. And they're both sort of very different. So elevation discs are a soft, flexible, rubber, silicony setup with varying stiffnesses. And the Goliath discs are more of a premium plastic setup. So, yeah, they look cool. Check out Zelm. They're in Ballarat. So if you need them, easy access.
You know what elevation absolutely sounds like they are as a disc?
What's that?
You remember the good old days of Vibram disc golf?
Yeah.
That's what those discs, like I'm looking at these pictures and they look like Vibram
yeah,
discs.
Yeah, 100%. That's why I remember when I saw them at, what's it called? The Warrnambool tournament. I thought they had some like old Vibram discs. I was like, what the fuck? Like how they got them? So, no, they look cool. I like it. And yeah, the Monster Mash does look good. I like that. Cool pattern too, so. Anyway, Zelm Disc Golf in Ballarat. Yeah, sorry, Stuart, but I hope it makes you feel better.
Yep, and send us any prizes for the tipping comp if you wish, Stuart.
that did kind of move nicely into that, didn't it? We went with the Cobden tournament last week. We're talking about that potential happening, and if you've seen on Disc Golf Shenanigans, maybe. Wayne has got it all sorted.
It's also up on our Insta now.
Oh, perfect.
Yep.
So it looks good. It's got a nice little logo. Cobden Carnage. We love a bit of alliteration, so that's a nice name.
Yes, we do.
And he goes, let's take the Disc Golf Roadshow on a road trip to Cobden Golf Club. September 14th, I, myself, and a crew of hand-picked people are working behind the scenes to go to get this up and running. With negotiations starting with the golf club beginning in December of 2024 and finally getting the tick of approval to use the golf course in around May, there's still a few boxes to tick with the crew heading over to plot out the course over the weekend and the paper trails on the process, but it'll all be looking pretty good. Open registrations by this weekend, maybe. And yeah, AMs will be $65. Pros will be $85. It's going to be part of the Oz tour.
Yes, it is.
And yeah, looks cool. I'll be checking it out.
Yeah.
Disc Golf Day, Oz Disc Day.
There you go. Weekend before us.
Mm-hmm.
Get amongst it. He's looking to build out the pro purse possibly. And I think he'll be looking to, you know, teaser, like we obviously teased it a little bit on the podcast as we had a little look at Google Maps and a couple of the imagery, but I'm sure Wayne will be looking to get some other teasers out there. I think, you know, Cobden Carnage has my interest peaked.
Mm-hmm, very much so.
Thinking water carry, I'm thinking woods, I'm thinking shenanigans. Let's see
indeed. We had the final social day of the season on the weekend out at Ruffy Lake Park. I did not make it because I mostly couldn't be bothered and I didn't think I could do much moving up or down on the overall social day leaderboard. Did you make it out?
I did not. I feel like I've not played a social day in a hot minute.
It does feel a little bit like that.
Yeah.
But plenty of people did. A big day often is out at Ruffy Lake, which is, good to see.
Absolutely.
Big field in Div C. 20 people in Div C, which is wild. And taking out co-leaders is Kim Michelle and Ross Davies, both with a neg 2, just barely etching out John Kohler with a neg 1 and Bridget Alberston there with an even. And I've been told that the neg 2 here is the first time that Kim has gone under the card at Ruffy Lake. So,
oh, big.
Yeah, very big. So, dope. I think it was apparently she went under the card at Melton a few months back. That was her first time doing that. And then, yeah, now, bang, 2 under. Easy money there for Kim. 4 birdies in a row, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
2 through 5.
Yeah. Tasty.
Is doing plenty. So cool to see there.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm just realizing on my view, I've got it loaded up on my, and I feel like we may have uncovered why the leaderboard is not quite working at the moment.
Oh, okay.
I've got like Div A, Div B, Div C view as we speak on my computer.
Oh, I didn't know we could do that.
Yeah, well, it's not normally like that. It's meant to, it's normally just ranked top to bottom, and that's why the leaderboard shakes out. But we've had a look at the the season leaderboard, and it seems a little broken at the moment. And I know Alex is a keen listener, and we can't be asked texting him. So, Alex, the leaderboard looks a bit broken, and I think I've uncovered why. For the at least for this Ruffy event that I'm looking at now, it's not been finalized, so to speak.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
So in Div, B, without having to look at my small phone screen, I can just look at my big laptop screen. Zolt was on one, bogey free, neg seven. You had Al Don in there with a bogey, neg six. Yeah, Tim Stevenson, bogey three, neg six. Glenn Rolston, bogey free, neg five. Doing work, obviously bogeys throughout for the rest of Div B, but just a bunch of players going bogey free and shooting hot scores in Div B. Well done.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. Love to see that. Massive, massive scores there. And oh, with Div B, that's, I feel like my Thrallers guarantee was centered around Div B, wasn't it?
You had a bit in there. You had some Chu Tran sitting in there, maybe. Did you have
Yeah, I reckon my matchup was Marky. Marky was in there with Ashwinder, and they were combining against Chu Tran and Matty Faz. And you advised, as I was saying it, you were advising me poor idea to combine, because I
I
think
did.
I'd had both those matchups separately, and I should really have listened. Because you know from experience that DNFs are a killer, but I must say my first instinct was straight up, I think Marky versus Chu, and they tied, so I would have been cooked no matter what. But I had Marky and Ash beating Chu and Matty Fat, so it would have come down to whether Ash could have beat Matty Faz. And Maddie didn't show up, the prick. So we will never know.
We'll never know.
We will never know. But he often falls somewhere between Ash and Jace. And Jace was six back of Ash, so I reckon I would have got it. But anyway, 0 points for me. And yeah, don't do doubles. That's
Don't do
dumb.
doubles. Don't
But
do doubles.
regardless, I would have lost anyway, so whatever. But yeah, is that like, I know you went over this. There is 18 out of the 24 under par in Div B. That's big.
Yeah. They can play.
That's wild. All right, well, good work, everybody, then.
Good work.
And in Div A, could anyone have seen this coming?
Not in a million years.
Not in a million years. We looked at, I need to go through this before we, oh, yeah. So Leo Dyke shot a neg 11, which is a 45. And let's just quickly, we'll go look at Leo's previous social days here. And he plays almost exclusively at Ruffy Lake, it seems. So 45, boom. Last time he played at Ruffy Lake, 49. So 5 strokes better than that. That's all right. Little bit of a blip. Before that, 52. Before that, 50. Before that, 52. Before that, 48. Before that, 49. And before that, 50. So therefore, he has gone 3 strokes better than he's ever done at a social day. And just a crazy coincidence. I gave you fucking 7 points for him to beat Penn, who wins all the social days. Son of a bitch. So anyway, good on you. Dollars guarantee. Leo beat Penn. Tell me honestly, if I had given you 6-4, would you have taken the 4 for Penn?
Nah.
Fuck, you were keen on Leo.
I was.
I thought you were just angling for a 4 for
Five.
Penn.
Yeah, but the other way, if you gave me 5-5, I'm taking Penn.
Yeah.
I think.
I just got it wrong by one then.
Yeah. But yeah, no, for 7, I'm taking Leo to the bank, apparently.
That's tough. That's tough. That's a
Yeah.
yeah. I wasn't mad at you when you took the 7, and I got pretty mad.
I have to admit, I've been stuck in my own little work podcast world at the moment, and I've not been listening to as many. Now that we have 70 odd listeners, fucking hell, I've not been pumping those numbers up. I've not been listening, but I did listen back to episode. Was it 110 last week or 109?
I don't know.
It was 109. I listened to 109, and I was shocked when we got to the guarantee, and it said 7-3. I thought you gave me 6-4, and then I listened back. I was like, "What the hell? I'm getting 7 for this? This is elite."
Yeah, it's like a bullshit. Oh, yeah, no good. But no, good on you. So 7-0 already for you. That's a worrying sign. We don't like that, but. Very good round from Leo. He had two bogeys, man. He bogeyed 10 and 13. Just got one of the eagles. Just birdied pretty much every other hole. Neg 11, nothing to sneeze at there at Ruffy. So well done him. Brett Zeeble and Timmy Ware tied for second there with a neg 10. Huge rounds out of them. Brett's on one. That's two huge social days in a row. And I really can't wait to see what the updated social day leaderboard is. Because I feel like he had some chance to catch Timmy Ware, which obviously won't happen now because they tied. But Peter Chu might have been in his crosshairs as well. So storming home, Brett and Timmy, that could have done some stuff too, potentially. So excited to see what that is. Glenn Maisie and Sam Barnett, Penlu and Marcus Vellotta all with a neg 9. Ruben Berg and Chris Scott all neg 8s. Don't normally go down that far on the leaderboard, but they're pretty good scores. So why not?
Yeah, well done. A bunch, not Leo, obviously, but a bunch of players go bogey free. I was just doing the quick maths to see if there was more bogey frees in Div B than there was Div A, but there was a bunch of bogey frees in Div A. Well done, but they were just a little light on the birdie front.
Mm. The overall social day handicap winner was Mike, and I've got the pronunciation of this last name because we've gone with him a bit. I think we see him... We see him a fair bit in the like non-handicap section. I feel like they're new members and we're trying to sort not non-handicap, like hadn't got it there yet.
Yeah.
I think I've been going with like Visu.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Viusu.
So okay.
Mike Viusu. And what a round. I think he shot a +3 overall and absolutely smashed the handicap. Like, second place is absolutely nowhere near him. And I'm almost certain that when we're looking at those scores, that they're normally pretty close to what I'm assuming is his brother, which is, where do I find them? In Div B, the other view soon. And I probably Div C. Reese. I feel like they're normally pretty close, and he's absolutely murdered Reese by 10 strokes.
10
so,
strokes, yeah.
Huge round for Mike, and you don't normally see that big of a lead on the hand. He's shot a 26 overall in the handicap thing. That's crazy. So, well done there, Mike. Oliver Morley there in second. Charlotte Davies, huge round as well. I think she was only a few over. So, she's going to start sticking around disc golf. She's going to start dominating.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Higgins and Kim Michelle... All no surprise to be high up there too with some fantastic rounds.
All 10 players in the top 10 are of that leaderboard from Div C.
They had a day. Div C had a day.
Div C had a day.
The bottom end, David Heath, back-to-back bottom ends, I think, so not so good. One, the only one in Div A not to go under par, so no surprise seeing him down there. Jace Wiedner, Doug Adams, Ville, and Paul Rogers all right down at the sad end as well. So, not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Not ideal at all. What do we have for the prizes? Alex had that in there. So, Chris Scott gets the Div A, CTB. Zolt gets Div B. And John Kohler gets Div C. Sam Barnett wins the Div A handicap. Oh, that's nice. He did shoot like a neg 8 or something, didn't he?
Yep.
Div B handicap also won by Zolt, so the prize goes to the runner-up Tim Stevenson. And Div C handicap was Mike Viusu, obviously.
Obviously, yes.
Smashed it.
He did.
Tim Stevenson, he did. What did he do? He played really well. That stuffed me up in my tipping. I think I tipped him, and no, I tipped against him, and you tipped him. I think that might have been our big one this week. That
separated us in the end.
Yeah,
I can't remember who you put him against, but he got Tim was out of the gates.
Yeah, he took on pretty much all comers. So
yeah,
yeah, prick.
Yeah,
nah, good to see.
Was it maybe Paul Arden?
I think it might have been.
Yeah,
I think it might have been, and he didn't shoot many, he didn't fire many off.
Nah,
Paul, so let me down. All good. We had the Preserve on. That was the only other thing really happened. A quiet week this week. But the Preserve was good. Did you watch
Would you say Gannon Burr had a quiet week?
Oh, absolutely not.
Jesus Christ.
How much did he win by in the end?
9 strokes.
Crazy.
9 strokes.
He could have parred round three and like would have won. They would have lost maybe by a stroke.
Yeah.
Suddenly. Crazy.
What was I saying? Highest ever rated event by anyone ever in the history of the sport.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know if you caught that.
Jesus Christ. But 1081, 1099, 1084.
Yeah. He had a 1088 event.
That's so gross.
And I think like the next highest is like not even in the 1070s. Like I think the next highest event ever was like maybe in the 1060s. Don't quote me on that. We've never made a mistake on this podcast. but I can confidently say that 1088 is the highest ever rated event. No round under 1080 for the tournament. Just outrageous.
That's fucked up, man. Yeah, he won by 11. He won by 11 strokes.
Correct.
That's insane.
Yep.
So you're not even close. And like from, not really from the start. Like he was only one ahead after round one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Corey Ellis was right there. And then it just was, like death by 1,000 cuts. And in the round, third round, he smoked him. But Corey did great too. So Corey's finished in second place. We like Corey because he came to New Zealand. So that's cool.
We do.
And a former major winner, which we forget about often because he's normally in 26th place, but in second place there. And we'll go back to Gannon for a sec. Niklas was not in the field again, so his three wins has come. The only 3 weeks that Niklas hasn't been here.
There you go.
So is there another one on, or are they going to Europe now?
Hard to argue with the stat. They're essentially going to Europe now. They've got the Discmania Challenge presented by TrueBank.
Okay. Who win that?
Yeah, in Indiana.
Yeah. Carter Ahrens in tied third place with Anthony Barella. So we haven't heard much from Carter in a while. He's the young gun.
Yes, that, correct.
Got everyone really excited. But, it's really cool to see third place. That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Any other exciting or interesting stuff you saw popping up?
No, not really. Who'd you tip? I tipped Ezra Aderholt.
Which one? That's good.
Ezra Aderholt. He went like quiet round one. Everyone had a quiet round one. It was quite wet and windy. Then he went -10, -10. Everyone ate. Like, the thing that stood out to me was just how easy they make this course look. And when it came to round three, Ezra Aderholt was on one, had another sick day, shot another -10. That allowed him to climb 0 spots. Sitting in 10th, shot a -10, and that got him nowhere on the leaderboard because just everyone ate. I checked earlier, I'm sure. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 21 players. 21 players getting double digits, more than the 9 birdies on day 3.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. And it's just a course like, I just know it's not that easy. Like they're playing it like it's roughy. And I wish it was just one of those courses I just wish I could see in the flesh to just like fathom how good these people are at disc golf.
Yeah. Like I went 12 over and I played pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wild. Absolutely wild. My tip was Simon Lizotte. And I tipped it because I thought he designed the course.
Mm-hmm.
And then I listened to Tour Life after that and I was like, no, he didn't.
No, not really, no.
He just changed like a hole or two and then they did a bunch of stuff that he wasn't aware of. And he's like, all right, well, there you go. Yeah. Not bad though. 12th. Simon's like, it's, I don't know, man. It's hard. He's so wild. Like, cause he just wins out of nowhere and then he shit out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So he's a hard one. Like, I'm not mad at a 12th. I would have been happy with more, but I'm not mad at a 12th for Simon. He definitely didn't hurt me.
No, so, that's true.
That was all right.
But, on the FPO side,
yeah.
Silver Saarinen goes bang, bang, back to back. And I was very close to pulling the trigger on her for the women's event this weekend. Who are you pulling the trigger on?
Oh, yeah, I need to tip that.
Mm.
What's that one? Where's that at?
I don't know. It's like the US, their version of the USDG. I don't know where it's at. It's in the States here somewhere.
Yeah, okay. I don't have to look at that. Yeah, potentially her. Have I tipped Holland? I don't know. I'll have to have a look at that. The majors is going to be Holland, Kristen, Silva, and I don't know, maybe some other European in Europe. I can't remember. Yep. So I'll figure that out. I haven't tipped Kristen or Silva yet, so I'll suss that. Maybe not Kristen, just in case she's jet-lagged and comes third, you know what I mean? I don't want to waste that. If she has her worst tournament of the year and comes third. Because she has not finished outside of second this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's gross. But yeah, I should have clipped the audio from last week. Because you had mentioned, like, we brought up how she beat her, that Silver had beaten Kristen. And you were like, maybe this is like a monkey off the back situation. We might see her go bang, bang more often. And then there we go. Very next week, gets it done.
Yep. Yep. Not surprised at all. You know, I was like doing my tip for the upcoming one. You know who we haven't seen in a hot minute?
Who's that?
Miss Jacob Putter, Evelina Sullinen, world champ herself.
Jacob Putter. I haven't noticed that she hasn't been playing. I just assumed she wasn't doing well.
No, I think she hasn't played since like early May.
Oh, wow. Okay, there you go.
So
the world champ.
Yeah, the world champ. And so I have not picked her. She is not playing this weekend. Mm. But yeah, just something to be mindful of.
Yeah.
Have we got much left on our run sheet? Because I've got something up my sleeve if we need it.
No. We got stuff. I do want to ask you something about this, but we got stuff all. Who were your tips for the FBO though?
Yes. Great question. Why did I not already have the answer to that?
Well, I went with Valerie Mondahano and she came charging home in round three.
Yes.
Excellent
that
tip
me.
For me. I was very excited about that.
12 under final round to finish
Huge
the event. 12 under.
To finish 12 under. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If she had stayed even, she would have been 7-8.
Jesus
but she went 12
Christ.
Under.
to get well to played.
Huge.
Yeah. I had Hannah Huynh.
Okay.
Who
That's
dropped?
Fine.
Yeah, it's fine. She dropped four spots.
Yeah, okay.
On that final day, so she was top 10, and I had both Ezra and her top 10, and I was like, if I get two top 10s out of these tips, I'll be stoked.
Yeah.
But anyway, a 10th and an 11th in the end.
I feel like Jen Allen's been up and about lately. Have we not been seeing her do really well? Like she finished in 11th here.
Yeah, same thing though. She was in seventh before that, before the day. Yeah, she's having a good month for sure.
Yeah, fourth at the last Elite Series too. So that's cool. Now, what I want to ask you about is your thoughts on this type of course where to win MPO, you need to shoot neg 32. So obviously Gavin shot neg 42, but to win you need to win shoot neg 32. So you need to go better than 10 under every round to win MPO. There seems like they're pushing away from these type of courses. What do you think about
it? There's nothing that Kayla Viscar is doing at the Preserve to make this course easier. It changes slightly. I will use the word slightly, but it does change every year and it changes to make it more difficult each year. But it's like this course, there's nothing they can do to it that, just challenges these guys. They just rip it apart. I do like, and it actually reminds me of the US, what was the actual golf tournament on this weekend?
The US Open.
The US Open, the winner winning on neg two. I think he got it on the end. How did you see his final putt?
I saw the final part and I kind of heard the story that he's never made the cut before, but yeah. I didn't really see much about it.
Yeah, but Adam Scott had a sick event. I don't know if you saw that. Adam Scott went into the final day in second. And so Adam Scott's been quiet for a few years. And so I was kind of loosely following it. But anyway, the winner won on leg two. And when they designed that course and they set up the rough, did you hear about the way they set up the rough and shit?
No.
Oh, so like roughs, the rough, like on a like a typical golf course in the world would be like a fairway for us. That's like the rough has got like pretty friendly is essentially what I'm saying on pro tours. That's exaggerated. But what they did at the US Open was the rough was like fucking 10 inches of grass. And so what was happening, like you could try, if you were in the rough and you tried to hit your golf ball, it was quite possible that you swung right underneath your golf ball and it didn't even move. It counts as a stroke. Or you swing right over the top of your golf ball. Same problem. The ball doesn't even move. Counts as a stroke. Yeah. So they fully made it as hard as possible, hoping that par would win the event. That was their objective.
Not bad then with neg two. That's pretty
good. Yeah, neg two. I think one player got neg one. But that was it. Every other player, par or worse, comfortably worse in a lot of pockets. And I think, look, that's probably the extreme end, and I can't see a world where disc golf quite gets there. But, yeah, I am actually tired of this.
Simon had a very interesting take because they were asking about, you know, it being exciting, and everyone birdies every hole, it's not exciting. And his concept goes, I think it's exciting when on the final round, like everybody between, you know, whatever, first through fourth is the same, fourth through this is the same, like they're all bunched up and anyone can make these moves. And I sort of get what he's saying. So like Ezra had held in 10th, but he was only four shots off of third. Mm-hmm. You know, in a lot of tournaments, he might be 10 back. Mm-hmm. And then a neg 18 gets you 21st, but a neg 20 gets you into the top 15. Mm-hmm. So I kind of get his concept there with the bunching up, and it makes, you know, you can have big moves. You put in a big round. But then it's sort of, I don't know, on the flip side, like you said, Ezra Heddle shoots a neg 10 and moves nowhere.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, it's an interesting one. And I think Yuli seems to think that he's happy to have, you know, one. He's like, I think there's a good place for one on the tour of this and one of something like that and bang, 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 all these different types of thing. But yeah, I hadn't really heard it the way Simon put it before. So he's good. Simon's good. He's good on the mic. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, mate, he knows what he's doing. He's he makes a dollar for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. All right. So, happy for me to take this elsewhere?
Yeah. What do you got? We got nothing else on now besides Spotlight and Not Like, because there's no no social day leaderboard because it's all whack, and there's nothing to Throwers Guarantee this week. So,
we did rating updates last week.
Yeah.
But I think it was remiss of us to just check in on the FPO division.
MPO.
FPO.
Oh, I thought you said it was remiss of us to just to do that. Sorry, to not do that. Yeah, go.
Yes, I am a maths teacher. What words came out of my mouth, I don't know. I meant what I said, and I said what I meant.
Good deal. What did we miss?
So, Hussey. Let's just have a quick check. Hussey, up one.
Okay.
898, still the highest rated female player in the country. Obviously, we then also have Cass Sweden. Let's have a look. 874, that feels light on.
Oof.
Let's have a look here.
Not Llewellyn.
Olinda.
Olinda could not have been good for her.
Which, like, obviously, you know, she's only played three events for the year. Has, you know, off the back of, obviously, crazy shitness at Worlds, which was obviously devastating, but is now all steam ahead for whatever
teams,
that
World Games.
World Games, absolutely our representative, rightfully so. But her PDJ rating, not great, a neg 16.
Oofed.
Oofed.
That's tough.
Yeah, that is tough. So not what I wanted to cycle into this for. I want to see Cooper Ryder, probably, I don't know, did not play this month, but was up plus 10 the previous month. I'm not sure if many of these others played this month. Let's have a look at Kirsten. No, not played. This is the I just wish this side of our game would grow more, don't we? Gina Hill, not played. Okay, so I'll stop clicking on names now. The others, possibly no updates, not playing this month.
So Haas just extending the lead. Just Australia's big dog.
Yep, and one step closer to get that 900 back, which I'm sure she's shooting for.
Sick. I like it.
Yep.
Sounds good. You got anything else?
That's it.
No. All right, we'll do a bit of spotlight, not light.
Yes, please.
What, you got any spotlights? I don't have any. So if you got a couple.
Oh, sweet. I was going to full just go like, you want to go first?
I'll go with my not light.
I've got a spotlight. Right. I don't know. Maybe this is more of a not light. I'm not sure. But I'm going to spotlight Penlu. The leaderboard's broken, but I think when we circle back to it next week, we're going to see that Penlu was taken out their season one of the league. Obviously, Kaelin was unable to make an appearance, so Pen got to walk away with that. Well done, Pen. But the slash spotlight slash not light was just the detail of group chat messages that he sent you. I don't know why I had to be privy to
I know,
right? That entire form breakdown, but it was confirmed that Penn absolutely has nerded out on this game and knows way more about it than I ever care to know. And it's just good on him. I mean, there's a reason he's got good at this game quickly, so good on him. Spotlight Penlu.
Yeah, no, he gave me a lot of great tips, so I just got to actually put them into practice. So I'll get on that. I'll do something this weekend, I think.
Yeah.
I've got no spotlight, so I'll just go with my not light. I was listening, I was watching the, what's it called? The
teams?
No. What were we just talking about? The Pro Tour thing. Preserve.
Preserve.
I was watching the Preserve. It gets to hole four of round one. And they're talking about the birdie zone. You got to throw it here. That's the birdie zone, and it's sponsored by Birdie Board Game.
Mm-hmm.
And this was Terry Miller talking about it. They did the birdie zone, and then Terry goes with this.
But it is, the birdie zone is sponsored by Birdie Pro. I don't understand why they advertise a board game when the whole world is going digital, but at least they offer free shipping during the tournament. So go out and pick up a Birdie Pro board game today at BoardBrothers.com.
So Birdie Pro board game, who sponsors the Disc Golf Network coverage, and Terry Miller's like, I don't even know why they're selling board games.
I don't even know why they exist. What a shit company.
He's like, but anyway, go buy one.
Oh,
I was
Terry.
Like, what the fuck was that? So I had to go back and record that for Not Life for Terry. That's terrible, Terry. What is he? He's going to get slapped across the wrist for sure from the Disc Golf Pro Tour people for that. Like, come on, man.
well grabbed by you. That is poor form.
You're like getting sponsored by like a barbecue sauce place, and he's like, I don't like barbecue sauce. Like, cool, Terry. Like, that was weird. I was like, I just started laughing straight away. I was like, come on, Terry, you're better than that.
Yeah, agreed.
What about you? Got a not light?
Nah. Not going to try to make one up. I got no not lights. Just not that we can't be doing Throllers Guarantee this week. There's no tournaments, nothing on the horizon. What have we missed? You know, is there a Ballarat League Day or something we're missed?
Probably.
But not that's jumping out at me though. So doesn't. According to Mextrix, there's nothing. So that can be my not light. Give me some disc golf to choose from. I want FOMO. This weekend, I'm going to be not playing disc golf and just being like, yeah, but no one else is. So I guess that's okay.
Who cares? Okay. Nah, fair enough. We'll be back next week and we'll be talking about the Melbourne Celebrates tournament, which will be quite exciting. And,
bring it on.
Yeah, we'll go from there. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.